passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver, Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Ohm Times, where we're changing the world one ohm at a time. Here this week, as we do every first Thursday of the month, we're going to be looking through the spiritual lens with Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed. He has texted me and said he's going to be a minute or two late, but I know that he will be hopping on at any moment. Before Matt gets here, let's go through the what I call the blah, blah, blahs that you all need to know listening to the Dr. Kevin Show. And the first blah, blah, blah is that we are now a live call-in show. So feel free to be part of the conversation and call in at 202-570-7057. Again, that's 202-570-7057. Or you can come to facebook.com/MyDrKevin, MyDrKevin. When you come to My Dr. Kevin, feel free to like the page, because I am, as they say, a likable guy. But also, you will notice that at the top of it is today's show, and you can post your question there. Maybe you don't want to call in. Maybe you're not one of those people that wants to actually talk on air. But if you'd still like to join the conversation, if you have questions for me or questions for Matt, you may do those by going to that at the very top of the Facebook. Again, facebook.com/MyDrKevin. And you can leave your comments there. And then we will read those comments on air and we will share them with you. First of all, I want to start by apologizing to my listeners. I want to apologize to my listeners because it was brought to my attention by my producer that my, and I'm going to call it the cursy side of my gift of my ADD, means I have a habit to not always be able to sit still. I run around and I will fix and fumble and fingle with things. And my understanding is that last week when I was on the show, when I thought that I was quietly just doing some things in the kitchen, though I wasn't eating, I may have sounded like I was actually eating, but I was actually getting dinner ready as I was talking to last week's guest, because I am a horrible multitasker. But I understand that it went across the airwaves louder than I thought. And unfortunately, the way that I call into the show, there's no way for me to mute. You know, for those of you who are ADD, gifted with ADD or ADHD, or have someone that you love that is, you know that there are times when we just have to be doing something, and that's how we actually focus best. We, you know, asking us to sit still and just be like, just sitting there and just doing nothing but listening can sometimes be a little struggle for us. Today, I put myself out in my beautiful porch. We're having beautiful weather up here in New England, and I have some crystals I can fit with my hands that I hopefully will not make too much noise. But again, I do want to apologize that last week I understand that even though I thought I was quietly wrapping my food to go on the grill and doing other things that are just my habit. It's just how I do it. Even when I'm on the phone with clients, I do that, and my clients are just used to it because they know that that's how I focus best. So again, I have apologized for last week's show if you found it distracting, and I will try to behave better, but no promises. Matt Connerton, welcome from Matt Connerton Unleashed. How are you, Matt?
Very well, thank you. I apologize for my tardiness. I had to take care of a little something after my program that took longer than I thought, but here I am.
Well, that's okay. That happens. I was just apologizing because I was told that I was kind of background noisy on air last week. I was preparing my dinner because you know me. You know me for a long time, Matt. I tend to fits when I'm talking. And I guess yes. I fitzed a little noisy last week.
I was apologizing to my listeners. Yeah, I was getting stuff ready for the grill. My producer sent me a little email and told me that they could hear the aluminum foil. I was like, oh, oops. So anyways, so now we both started the show with an apology. How are you? And how is Matt Carterton Unleashed going? I like the new look, by the way.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Yeah, the new graphics and everything. Yes. Very pleased with that. The show's been going well. Obviously, there's been plenty to talk about lately, as always. And, yeah, we're having fun, although sometimes it gets pretty serious, too, as you know. But, it's going very well.
Good. Well, so there's a few different things I want to talk to you about, and then we can kind of go wild and woolly and put a spiritual lens maybe on some of the stuff going on around the world. Sound good to you?
Absolutely.
Okay, so one of the things that I actually wanted to talk about was an article that I came across, and I thought it was kind of interesting, and I thought this would be a good article for the show to talk about on the show. So, Matt, how much I don't know, probably you don't remember, it was a long time ago, I can't say that I ever really remembered, but have you been around when parents have been trying to feed their kids?
Oh, certainly.
You know, like little kids. Do you remember anything about when you were young? Were you a picky eater? Did your parents ever make things into airplanes? Did they threaten you if your plate wasn't clean? Were you going to be sent to India because they were starving kids?
Was I a picky eater?
Yeah.
Dr. Kevin, you're talking to the guy who one of my earliest memories is my parents taking me to Wendy's and me refusing to eat the hamburger because it was square and it freaked me out. So, yes, I can relate to that. That's a true story, yes.
Oh, my. So I saw an article. It was actually on CNN, and I was like, this is kind of interesting because most of us, whether we had children or not, we all were children. Some of us actually, no matter how old we get, remain children. But there was four eating styles that are most popular. One was an authoritarian feeding style, where the parent is inclined to push a child to take more bites of food, ask a child to clean your plate, and the parent is going to access, child's access to non-healthy, non-nutritionist food. So that's style one. The second style that they referred to was a style, and I'm looking for it right now, but it was a permissive and neglectful. I like that. Permissive and neglective feeding style. That's an indulgent feeding style where the parent has loose reins on what a child eats and access to the food that he has. So if the child wants cookies, no problem. There they are. Eat all you want. I don't really care. There's the bag. Just let me know when I need to buy a new one. And then there is another style, which is, I'm just looking for it. Of course, they do suggest that part of what might be helpful is to be a good role model. We know that that's not going to go over big with parents a lot of the time, that you would actually expect them to be involved with it. But they had a style which was kind of semi-authoritative, and then it also had but they gave them choices. But you only get to choose from authoritative style called love with limits.
Okay.
It's an authoritative feeding style, but what you do is you're setting boundaries and structures, but you're still engaging them in feeling like they are participating. So do you want the green beans or do you want the broccoli with your meal tonight? So what do you think? Do you want the green beans or do you want the broccoli, Matt? Or do you want the square hamburger from Wendy's?
I would go with the green beans and the square hamburger.
Oh, now you would, right?
The green beans would make me feel better about eating the hamburger.
Ah, okay. So they have all of this, you know, the authoritarian style, authoritarian with love, and then the permissive, neglective style. And interesting, there was a lot of good things in it. Again, I found this on CNN. Which one do you think they rated as being the best style?
I'm going to go with, I think it was the third one. You called it Love with Limits, I think.
Yeah. Yep. Love with Limits. Authoritative Love with Limits. This is the one where they do that. One of the things that they said that I found very interesting, and one of the reasons I wanted to share it, was they pointed out that when you say to the child, just two or three more bites, and I've done that. I've been in childcare mode, you know, clean your plate, you know, blah, 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 blah. That you're actually tying that the child should listen to their own hunger factor. And that you develop children who overeat because they think they're supposed to. Mm. It isn't about whether they're full or not. It's about whether the plate is clean. It's about whether the parent is pleased. And I thought that was a very interesting thing because I've been notorious to say, okay, a couple of more bites, you haven't eaten much, but maybe they've eaten all they need to eat. Maybe we shouldn't be forcing food down them. And we certainly shouldn't be associating food with love or good behavior. You know, get an A and I'm going to give you something that's really bad for you to eat, which we do a lot of. So I just thought that was kind of interesting. So how are you these days? Go ahead.
I was just going to say my mother used to encourage me to make a happy plate.
Okay. What was a happy plate?
Well, just by eating all my food. If I ate all my food, then I made a happy plate.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And how motivated were you to make a happy plate? Did you really care about your plate being happy?
Yeah, it depended on what I was eating and if I liked it.
So if it came between your happiness and the plate's happiness, yours came first? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, I'm very selfish that way, yes. Well, I've always said, I mean, it's my stomach's world. You all just live in it.
Well, I guess that's better than we all live in your stomach. That would make you a giant or something, right?
Yeah, I couldn't fit you all in my stomach. That would be crazy.
Yeah, be a little crazy. Yeah. So anything new and interesting? For those of you, again, Matt Connerton Unleashed, he has Matt Connerton Unleashed in the afternoon on 95.3 in Manchester, New Hampshire, WMNH. And you can also go to ipmnation.com where you will have unlimited access to all of Matt's old shows, TV, radio shows, plus a plethora of other shows, including the Dr. Kevin and Friends Network. Again, that's ipmnation.com. So you said that IPM Nation is going well.
Yes, very well.
Good, good. So
it's gangbusters, whatever that means. Never understood what that means, gangbusters. Yeah, I got to look that up. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know. Gangbusters would be an energy that would bust up a gang. Do you think it's that?
I don't know. That's a lot to live up to. I don't know, but maybe.
Okay. So anyways, so things are going well there. And you've got a lot of stuff to talk about these days. So I wanted to share one thing on my end, and then we're going to see what's going on in the world for us to chat about. So I started teaching my master level Tarot certification class this last weekend.
Well, very good.
9 hours and there's 18 of them before they're done. So it's about 165 hours of training.
Wow.
Yeah.
I remember hearing you talk about this once, about I remember being surprised at how many different types of tarot decks there are, and you know, you have to learn all these different kinds, and it sounded much more complex than I might have assumed, although obviously there's a lot of learning if it's what did you say, 185 hours of class
time? It's 165 hours of class time, and then they're probably going to do anywhere between, depending on how much they dedicate themselves to their out-of-class work and their homework, they'll probably put in another anywhere from 25 to 50 hours of time before it's all over.
Wow.
Because they have homework.
That's
and
incredible.
They have assignments. Yeah. But, you know, you and I have had this conversation before. It tends to be more around when I'm talking about my ADD work. But, you know, one of the things, and people have questioned me, because, you know, you can go to any of the spiritual rags or websites or stuff like that. You can look around and you can find somebody that will turn you into a tarot reader. I mean, I've seen it in as little as 3 hours or a weekend class. And people go, well, what's the difference? What's the difference between 3 hours and 165 hours? And do you know what the difference is?
What?
162 hours. But,
I'm not great at math. I probably could have gotten that one. Yeah,
you might have. But one of the things that occurred to me was it's about subjective versus objective learning and how much we've become shoddy in our studying by taking subjective learning as objective learning. You remember some of these conversations we've had before?
This rings a bell.
So, you know, most of what we do in public education is we teach a lot of things that are subjective as if they're objective. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. So one of the things doing this first day is, you know, there are over 1,000 different tarot decks. In some places, they actually say there are thousands and thousands of tarot decks. But I could verify a number that there's easily over 1,000. And
Wow. But
a majority of those decks fall into primarily either a traditional deck called the Rider-Waite deck, or they're more closely aligned with the Thoth Crowley, Aleister Crowley, who was a lot of people, you know, he was an occultist and this, and that's a negative deck. And, you know, somebody actually posted on a Facebook message today that, a message that I had out, that they referred to something as being demonic because it talked about spiritual work. And this woman wrote, demonic. And I said, there are only demons there if you invited them, so stop inviting them. She didn't appreciate my response. But, you know, so then people want to make the Aleister Crowley stuff demonic. And we'll be right back here on the Dr. Kevin Show.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Tune in to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Hi, this is New Age Grammy winner Paul Avgerinos. Thanks for listening to Om Times Radio, and please support my peaceful healing music with a purchase at iTunes, Amazon, or wherever you shop for fine music. Just put my name into the search engine, Paul Avgerinos, A, V like Victor, G like George, E-R-I-N-O-S. You can also visit me at roundskymusic.com. Thanks for listening, and I'm wishing you the brightest of blessings.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show, where we're on our first Thursday of the month, which is Through the Spiritual Lens, as Matt and I discuss things going around in our worlds and the world and see if we can put a few of them through a spiritual lens. As always, on the first Thursday of the month, I'm joined with Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed, who has a drive time radio show at 95.3 WMNH in Manchester, New Hampshire, which you can listen to online if you're not in that area at ipmnation.com every day from 4 to 6, where we unleash Matt Connerton and then we see how many people get scared and go, ooh, he's unleashed. Hey, Matt, you still there?
I am.
Okay, how many people did you scare today?
Well, I like to imagine that there's like this big ballroom full of people, and I just run in and frighten them all. So I would like to say several thousand, but that's an imaginary thing. I don't know how many I actually did, but maybe because it's getting close to Halloween, I like to imagine this giant ballroom full of people, and I run in with a chainsaw or something and just frighten them. Is that what you meant?
Sure.
Cool. Yeah. Good.
Yeah. Hey, I can go with that. I can go with that. So anyways, so we were talking about subjective and objective before we went on break. So, you know, what we do is a lot of those decks have spiraled out from two different men that were involved with an organization called the Golden Dawn, which was an occult secret mysteries organization at the late 1800s. You know, all of those stories you hear about, you know, the Victorian men and having the secret orders and studying the occult mysteries of you know, Hebrew and Egypt and all of that stuff. And they came and they kind of took something that had been around for 500 years and kind of put a spin on it. And the majority of modern decks just took their subjective view of Tarot and replicated it, but gave it a little twist here, a little twist there, a little something. But you can tell when you see these decks because they're just really knockoff decks. Sometimes they have almost the exact same words as the words in the deck, but they've just put a different picture on the face. They put on they have an animal or they follow the a Celtic. Now, some have woven in what they have taken. But again, you can tell when they have just done the subjective version of the tarot. And to really understand the tarot, you have to go and you have to acknowledge the work that they did, but realize it was just really a subjective, their opinion. And a lot of people...
Right.
Can do a short course because they're just teaching how to read a single tarot deck, and this is how you memorize it. And then if you're lucky, they may talk to you about how to open up your intuitive and add you to it. But they kind of give you a fast food spirituality of something that we know has been around for, over 600 years. Am I doing that math right? Yeah, 1390 to today. Do that math for me. You're so good at math, Matt. Do that math for me. You know, 620, 630 years. And that really has its roots even before then. That's just the earliest recorded. So that's why it can be so extensive. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So it's the difference of, you're going to take the journey and really look and take in a mastery level journey of all of this has to offer. Or are you going to learn to memorize the little white book in a deck and then say, hey, I'm a fabulous tarot reader. Come talk to me. so that's the difference.
You've talked, about education over the years. I've heard you talk about, just more broadly how so much of education is, just people memorizing things and then regurgitating it rather than actual learning, which is a little bit different.
Yeah. Instead of having an interaction stuff. And of course, the people that take this course, and I'm only letting four students take it. And when I offer it again, I'll only let four students take it because it's a very deep dive. And because it's a self-mastery, there's a self-mastery aspect to it. Whenever I teach a master's class, we know that it's going to dig up a lot of stuff for them that's going to help them move forward as a person to into their own place of self-mastery, not regurgitation, but really embody each one of those. And when this class is done, if this class wants to go forward, we'll move forward and actually do a Make Your Own Tarot Deck course.
Okay.
So they could come up with actually having their own decks, and they're not just going to be either Rider-Waite or Thoth ripoff decks where I'm just, look, I'm going to take this deck and I'm going to add a few leaves and stuff and I'm going to call it Pagan, or I'm going to call it Earth, or I'm going to come up with, okay, so what's this? But it doesn't necessarily really represent what those were. So a lot of fun, a lot of fun. So what have been the hot topics on your show these days?
Well, Kavanaugh has been the hot topic, obviously. Of course, looks like, he's going to get confirmed clearly now. That FBI report came back, such as it was. Doesn't sound like there was much to it. They didn't interview too many people. They didn't interview Christine Blasey Ford. They didn't interview Brett Kavanaugh. They're going to vote Saturday to confirm him.
What do you think? Do you think that this is going to continue to galvanize the possibility of more change to happen? Do you think that people will see this as the ripoff job it was when you're hearing that there are all of these people that say, and even people who said, I witnessed this incident, and the FBI is not talking to them? Some of what I've been reading. What's going on? Well, go ahead.
Well, I had been saying, and, my predictions are often wrong. I didn't think Trump was going to be president. So, obviously I don't always get this stuff right, but I thought that the best case scenario for the Republicans would have been if the FBI report did come back with something, and that they could then go and ask the White House to withdraw the nomination and give us somebody else after the midterms. And here's why. I felt that the Republicans were in a terrible no-win situation because a catch-22, because they wanted to hurry up, or they still want to hurry up and get him confirmed before the midterms, because after the midterms, they may no longer be in control, and it'll be much harder to confirm Kavanaugh or anyone else that the Trump nominates. But at the same time, if they look like they're rushing or if they look like they're trying to just railroad him in, it's going to reflect poorly on them, and it's going to there's going to be a lot of splashback on them during the midterm elections. So they may end up costing themselves seats in some of these close races by galvanizing the opposition, you know, if they look like they're just trying to rush this and railroad him through. So I thought that the best case scenario would be they have an excuse to not confirm him, so they would look better in the midterms. And, you know, and then after the midterms, you know, maybe Trump puts somebody up who's not as conservative and who people aren't concerned or is going to vote to overturn Roe v. Wade or wherever it may be. Now, obviously, that's not happening now, and he's almost certain to be confirmed. But I think that it is going to cost them in the midterms. So I think long term, they've done themselves some harm. In the short term, it's a victory. And, you know, a lot of people only care about the short term. So in the short term, it's a victory for the Republicans and it's a victory for the White House. And he's going to the Supreme Court. But I think it's in the slightly longer term, I think it's going to hurt them. And, I mean, look what happened today, you know, the protest and, you know, the cops were arresting people who were protesting in the Hart building, and Amy Schumer was there, who I didn't even realize until today that Amy Schumer, the comedian and actress, is actually Chuck Schumer's cousin. I had no idea. I don't know if you knew that. But,
no, I didn't.
Yeah, so they took her away in cuffs, I guess. And so I think there's going to be a lot of splashback on the Republicans, and this may harm them in the midterms, but we'll see.
Do you think, because I try to step back and look at this sometimes and not get, I mean, first of all, you're getting a lot of people getting triggered. We taped our Web of Light show this last week. You know, we tape last Monday. You know, we do four shows in one day. You've been my guest co-host there before. You know, I actually had somebody on that had written a pretty powerful thing on Facebook, somebody that I knew, that was hashtag why I didn't report. And she went through, you know, the first time she tried to talk about what happened, her mother blamed her for hanging out with the boy. So it was her fault she got molested. And so then the next time it happened, she didn't say anything and went on all the way up into her 30s of how the couple of times when she did report, she was harassed or she was made to pay a price for it, or it was made her fault.
Mm-hmm.
And so for every time she did report, there were two or three times she didn't report.
Oh, yeah.
And I really feel, so I'm trying to step back and look at all of this because a lot of people are getting triggered. A lot of people are speaking out. There's a lot of conversations that are long overdue, and they're happening because of all of this stuff. But just how out of touch is Washington? Is Washington really that much out of touch that you can only pull this crap so many times before there's going to be blowback?
Well, the thing is, absolutely everything is partisan, including sexual assault. And that's why, or allegations of, to be fair. But, you know, it was the same predictable thing, you know, Democrats, you know, when Christine Blasey Ford came forth, Democrats believe her, Republicans believe him, pretty predictable. I mean, personally, I do believe her. I watched her testimony, and every cell in my being, every instinct I have said, this woman's telling the truth. Having said that, I also understand there is no, I mean, any, you know, potential corroborating evidence is circumstantial at best, to say the least. So, You know, in a court of law, I would have to, if I were sitting on a jury, I would have to vote not guilty. But I do believe her. But again, it's all, you know, and I'm an independent, and one of the reasons I'm an independent is because I don't like the chains that ideology, I feel, puts on you. And if you're an ideologue, you have to play for your team. So if you're a Democrat, you have to automatically believe her before you've even heard the testimony, right? And if you're a Republican, you have to assume that that he's telling the truth. But, yeah, partisanship trumps absolutely everything. And it's not anything new. I think it's probably gotten worse. It's probably worse than it's ever been, but it's nothing new. It's how it's always been. At least as long as I've been alive.
So do you think nothing will change it? Is it beyond changeable? Well, what is
it
going to take
to
change it?
I don't know what can change it. I don't know. I mean, I hate to be cynical. I hate to sound pessimistic, but I don't know what could change it. I have no idea.
Well, I have some thoughts and ideas on some stuff that might change it, and we're going to get to those in the next segment. But one of the other things I wanted to say is something new. This last week when we did Web of Light, I don't know how much attention you paid at Facebook, but we actually live streamed the show while we were taping it.
Oh, I noticed that, and I happened to be in front of my computer, and I don't know if you saw, but at least one of those, I shared it out to the IPM Nation page while you were live streaming it. Is that something that you're doing permanently going forward? When you tape, you're also going to live stream to Facebook? Because I think that's great. That's fantastic.
We were trying to live stream through three different Facebook pages. Through four, we only ever got three. They're still working out some technical difficulties. Both dragons, unicorns, and other creative creatures will now be able to be watched normally the second Monday of every month, unless there's a holiday, and Web of Light the first Monday of every month, unless there's a holiday. And people will be able to ask questions on Facebook while we're taping.
Oh, that's great.
And we'll be right back.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hi, I'm Kelly Fox, host and astrologer of The Astrology Show. Each week, I'll give you access to the current transits, which are a valuable tool that provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has. Understanding the stars can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, be sure to tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance. Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hi, this is recording artist and composer Yuval Ron, inviting you to a voyage through the chakras, a new double album of guided meditations to transform your life, a sublime musical medicine for nourishing inner peace and reaching to your higher virtues. Get it now at metamindfulnessmusic.com. M-E-T-T-A, mindfulnessmusic.com.
911, what is your emergency?
My kid shot himself.
All right, where's the wounds?
911, what's your emergency?
Please help, my son shot his brother.
911, what is your emergency?
Okay. 911, please state your emergency.
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns.
It wasn't locked.
Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the final segment of the Dr. Kevin Show this year, this week. I'm on with Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed. Matt has a live drive time. Why do I always get that confused, Matt? I don't know. I've got drive through on my mind. Drive time show from 4 to 6, Monday through Friday. Well, I just want to go through to get you a square hamburg so I can see you be revolted. Monday through Friday from 4 to 6. Yeah? No? No,
I love a good, unfortunately, I eventually grew to love, the Wendy's hamburger, which, and I say unfortunately because it's never a good idea to eat fast food. Well, unless you're, you know, unless you've got nothing else, you've got no other options, but, so no, I learned to love the square burger.
There you go. Well, you know, just like people can come and come to facebook.com/mydrkevin to weigh in on our show, because I post it there every week as we're on the well, my show and the weeks you join me, our show, that to be able to comment or ask questions or participate. Yeah, we're going to be streaming on My Dr. Kevin along with a couple of other pages. And I think right now it's looking like if you put your comment on My Dr. Kevin, that by the time we tape, which is not going to be next week because of Columbus Day, but the week after when we do Dragons and Unicorn, I'll be able to see it on the TV screen and I'll be able to share it. Share the question.
Very nice.
So people can participate. Yeah. Yep. We're going to do it regularly. We're going to be working through it. It definitely changes the energy of the show. Now, I'm having somebody come on in the first Monday of November, and you were thinking about participating in that show. Somebody who is running for president has agreed to be on the show and share their platform.
And Yes. And I am... planning to be there if the invitation is still open.
Absolutely. We are going to have an audience for that one.
Very good.
And so we'll have an audience for that one, and there'll be an opportunity for people from Facebook and all over to ask this man who now does work as a shaman and as a healer and does all of this stuff, who's former military and did special ops and special that type of military stuff, who thinks he's got the answers to what this country needs. Does he? Doesn't he? I don't know. We're going to have to listen to his platform. He says. But yeah. It's right up your alley. Now, one of the people, so on those Mondays, if you're online, you can share them over to IPM Nation. They will be going on. Now, we interviewed somebody from your part of the world. I don't know if you saw that one or not. We were doing Dr. Jackie Creation, who is running for state rep in Manchester.
Oh,
Manchester,
yes, yes,
for Concord, for state representative.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, I'm Facebook friends with her. I've never actually spoken with her directly. But how did that go?
Very good. She was very interesting, very on point. Mother of three, has a PhD in biology, I think it is, or something like that. I can't remember off the top of my head, but it's one of the sciences she's got a PhD in. She's got three elementary school kids, and she has a lot of ideas of things that she feels that that they've got wrong in Concord. And she and I think it's Matt Wilhelm are kind of co-running together for both of the seats that are available in those wards. She was very, very well spoken. We had a lot of good conversations. We talked about things like automatic voter registration, and we talked about clean elections and transparency. The interesting blip that we hit is because her husband's a teacher, and we got into it about teaching and about how we needed to have more money for teachers and education. And I kind of challenged the fact of we're number one in the world with what we give to our educational system, but we're number 19 on the world stage about how well we produce. And I don't think, and I'm not saying that teachers don't need to have more access to money and resources, but I think we need to fix the system and not just throw money at it, because we pay out more per child. We pay our teachers crappy, but we pay more per child than any other country in the world. And we're 19 in the world on the educational stage. What's up with that? Do you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I agree we need to do something about education, but I don't think just funding more of it is the answer. I think that we need to stop letting politicians who are clueless decide about things like Every Child Left Behind Act and standardized testing that is discriminatory towards many marginalized groups and you know, disenfranchised people or alternative kind of learners. They're not going to do well on those tests, and the teachers get penalized if their kids don't do well, and the whole focus is wrong because they're not turning out brighter kids that have better critical thinking skills that are changing the world. They just are turning out kids that vomit better.
Right, and we should clarify, when you say kids that vomit better, you're referring to what we were talking about earlier, how kids in school are expected to just memorize information and then regurgitate it.
See, that's why I have you. That's why I love having you on the show, Matt. You're such a good interpreter for me.
Yes.
So here's my thoughts on, and you know, one of the conversations Lori has, you know, Lori, my co-host now, Powers Auto. One of the conversations is, first of all, for those spiritual people who think they're above voting, I think they're full of spiritual BS, because I think the most spiritual thing you can do is speak out and make a difference in the world, both with your vote and with getting involved in politics, because I think we need more people that maybe have a higher integrity and a better understanding of the world to be in politics. I mean, I first found about Jackie because there's, I think, 8 people in New Hampshire that are running for state reps that are all UUs, Unitarian Universalist, and which is a group I share, which I belong to, and I share a lot of the same integrity and value statements with. Value statements that we're not seeing represented in politics.
Yeah.
But what do you think of this, Matt? My Mr. Politician analysis. One of the things we kept on talking about is we will never, ever, ever be able to change Washington. All we can ever really change is our state and who we're sending to Washington.
Well, I mean, it's a big question because, you know, how do you change human nature? You know, power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts, absolutely. People get power. They then want to keep power, which is why our elected lawgivers and overlords, they spend more than half their time trying to raise money because they're chronically trying to run for reelection. You know, how do you change that?
Well, you want an answer?
Oh, I would love it.
So I know I'm going to hear howls all over the place. we at a state level can rally people and we can make changes like, first of all, automatic voter registration. If you got that passed, you would at least be hearing from a wider diversity of people, and you would be getting more people feeling like they could have some ownership in what was going on. And so then the second thing is that we can pass bills on the state level of what we want, what we are going to allow our congressional senators and House of Rep people to get away with. We're not going to change it in Washington. Washington is too rotten to the core. But we can hold our own people accountable. You say, how do you change human nature? You make them feel like there's something in it for them. And if you can start to communicate people that, let's forget about Washington per se, let's really focus. We can make, there are 13 states that have clean elections going on now. We can increase that number. If, and we can hold our individual senators and House of Reps to a higher standard and say, this is how this state wants you to vote on these things. And if you don't, we are not sending you back. And we can eliminate, I mean, one of my things, and I'm sure it would get challenged, is why not as a state say no outside money in elections? If you're not a state of New Hampshire representative, a state, if you are not a New Hampshire state resident, you cannot donate to a political campaign going on in the state of New Hampshire.
You said something a moment ago about clean elections. What do you mean? What are you referring to?
There's a clean election where there's a whole clean election program where people accept that, first of all, they sign a document that says that they'll only take certain kinds of donations. Maine was one of the first ones to do it. And that there is a transparency to where you get your money from, and there's caps to how much money you can spend. Ideally, we could pass in this state. And I'm saying this because I want everybody listening to this conversation to know you could start doing the same thing in your state. Forget about Washington. Concentrate on who you're sending to Washington.
Right.
And so if we say, you know, okay, we're going to fund the election campaigns in the state. And so anybody running, that anybody that runs is going to be at a certain budget, and that's all they can spend. And anybody that has received a required number of signatures has to have equal time on any and all media radiating within the state of New Hampshire. We could actually pass those laws as a state. We have to stop thinking that, I mean, it was such proof of how much we kowtow to Washington when we let Trump come in and spread all those lies about us, change our voter registration laws to make them happy in Washington when everything that was said was a bunch of lies about people being bussed in that would never proved, that never played out, but yet we changed it to keep Washington happy. Why did not Washington have to apologize and keep us happy? I think we've got the shoe on the wrong foot. I think we needed to take our state's right foot and stick it right up Washington's backsides. How dare you accuse us? Go ahead.
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned the, you know, they talk about people being bussed in. I mean, that's something that I've been hearing for years. I mean, you know, in some instances from people I've interviewed, you know, they always talk about these buses that show up with all these out of state people who go in and vote, or these, to use their term, illegal immigrants, you know, who show up and vote in our elections who aren't even from here. And it's like, I'd like to see some evidence of this. You know, we live in a time where everyone's got a smartphone and can take pictures and can take video on their phone, yet no one's ever shown me actual pictures or actual video of one of these buses pulling up to a polling place, and then all these people get off the bus who, I guess, to some people's estimation, don't quite look like they're from here, and then they go in and vote, and, you know, I'd like to see some proof of this, yet somehow it never surfaces.
Yep, I agree. But we can also do rank and choice voting. I mean, there are many things that we could be putting into place as a state on the state level, and there are states that are doing that. that are putting in some or all of these things, you know, bits and pieces. But we have to shift and change. And Washington doesn't get to say how we elect our senators.
Yeah, we get I think Maine is doing rank and choice voting now, aren't they? Yeah.
In some places, on for some levels. And I think that, you know, and one of the things we discussed right here in the state, you know, that people have to go two or three times a week during the day to Concord to vote on things or be part of committees. Well, that automatically, you know, you automatically put out of the running your 9 to 5 Monday through Friday hard worker in New Hampshire who can't take off 3 afternoons a week if he wanted to become a House rep and actually do stuff and speak out. We need to change that. Those need to happen.
Right.
We need to update. We need to have committee meetings done on Zoom. We need to have voting. And we need to pass a law that says if you have a House of Representative person that works for you, there's so much time off that you have to give them to go do that. Paid time off.
Right.
Because we only pay them $100 a year.
That's right.
We can change here, and that's what we need to do. Hey, Matt, it was good as always.
Always a pleasure, Dr. Kevin. Thank you.
Have a good day. Bye.